Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into today's episode of the Top Cut Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. I am here with my co-host, Blackwing Armor Master. How are you doing?
Very, very nice. Comes in quarter century secret rare out of the tins.
I have one of those lying around somewhere. I should find it real quick.
I'm happy to be the Armor Master. It's interesting you mentioned that. I've actually been going through Attack on Titan because I dropped off like at the beginning of season three, and I'm now at the beginning of season four. So I've had some experience with the Armored Titan, and it's I had not gotten to the point where the big twist had been revealed, so I will not discuss that for people who haven't watched. But Armor just got that I got the brain worm there.
So I will say personally for me, when I think, okay, so Attack on Titan just ended and you haven't gotten all the way through it yet, or have you seen the ending in the manga? Or
I don't know anything. I have not read a single page of the manga.
I also managed to avoid all the spoilers for the last three or four years.
I don't know anything.
Don't we all? So for me, it was very interesting because I think the more that I think about it and the more that I consider it, I think that Attack on Titan will go down as maybe the best anime of all time. Now, I understand that a lot of people are very skeptical of that, and I understand why. To me, though, the issue that Attack on Titan has right now is that everybody watched season four when it came out, and then they watched the final season part three, part one, whatever, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, and then they watched this recently. So there's been this issue of it being broken up constantly, which has resulted in essentially they can't build up a hype train because you're releasing one episode every 7 months. Whereas I think now that the show is over and the series has ended, if you go back in and start from episode one and watch it all the way through to the end as one piece and as one chunk, I feel like the story is going to flow better than it did as being broken up. Now, yeah. I understand why they broke it up, especially now looking back at seeing what's happening at MAPPA. But for me personally, I think that Attack on Titan, people are going to go back and rewatch it now that it's complete and realize, like, wow, this really was like probably the anime of our generation.
Interesting.
That's my take. Of course, I'm I also, Attack on Titan was my like major first major anime that I really like.
Yeah,
like was in the hype on. So and that, it might be biased.
If you want to hear us talk more about Attack on Titan, you can join the Patreon, where we will probably do, I imagine we'll probably do a Patreon episode about it once I'm finished.
That is a very good chance. And I will also try to finish Vinland Saga before you finish Attack on Titan around the same time.
That's not a bad idea.
So you do an episode on both.
That would be cool. Yeah. If you're interested in that, sign up for the Patreon. And I think we have some sponsors to talk about.
Yeah, I think we're going to try to move this sponsor discussion. We're going to try to talk for a minute or two before doing the quick sponsor reads. I've been listening to a lot of other podcasts on YouTube, and I think that it's, and I don't mind being like, just brutal transparency has always been our thing.
We're 4 minutes in. Is that enough time, or do we need to wait?
Yeah, like 3, 4, 5 minutes, something like that. But for me, it's I've heard that it's like a for podcasts specifically, it's like a retention thing.
If all the people, anybody who's still listening, including the two people who show up to Amazon Music every day, we see you.
Hey, that is true. The two people that are listening on Amazon Music every single episode religiously, and represent all like 500 of our listens on Amazon Music.
We see
you. You have been acknowledged. this is your recognition for your support. No, we do have some sponsors that we want to thank though. So, of course, we want to thank all of our wonderful sponsors that have affiliate links and discount codes specifically. So, if you want to get discounts, you can go to Grimoire TCG for discounts on some sick play mats. You can go to Gem Accessories for discount. I think that's a 10% discount on Gem Accessories products, which they have a lot of stock up on their website right now that they can ship immediately. I've been trying the sleeves. They're very nice. Be sure to check out, of course, Tier Zero Games. Top Cut 5 gets you 5% off over there. And I think it's free shipping on orders over £50 because they're British. But Valiant Smashers comes out today. So if you want to get some product from Valiant Smashers, if they have it, I don't know if they have it. They've been doing a lot of restocks and restructuring, but they should have it. And if they do, then you should definitely check out Valiant Smashers at Tier Zero with code TOPCUT5 for 5% off. Of course, check out our TCG Player affiliate link and also Dragon Shield. We have a code for 5% off over there. That's also TOPCUT5. Yeah, we try to do TOPCUT5 everywhere we can. Except I think Gem is TOPCUT Podcast 10. So, and of course, be sure to check out our Patreon. And obviously, if you're on Spotify or whatever, check out our YouTube. We're doing live streams now. I'm trying to do more of them. I've lost 30 pounds in the last 3 months, so I actually look good on the live stream for once. Woo. So that's true. Since Nationals, I have lost over 30 pounds.
You're gaming. Well,
yeah,
I'm getting on track to that. If anybody is following me on Twitter, which the links to those are in the description for myself, Sunny, and Trish, so you should go check that out. I've been running in the Necrofusion Enthusiasts, the Fright for Tigers fitness club, or the fitness channel.
Yes, which I will be joining at Christmas because I know what I'm getting for Christmas. I'm getting a rowing machine for Christmas.
Welcome to the club. I just started doing extra stuff, so if you need something to keep you accountable to doing that, definitely do that. I Wish I Was Dead actually just joined today and started the Not Math Mech fitness club. So,
there you so are. While I do... So how about this? What if we did some fitness live streams?
It depend on the camera setup for me, but it was maybe possible.
Yeah, that's fair.
I could make it happen. It would require some engineering, but it's doable.
It can be done. It would also be very difficult for me. I might actually. So because of where my rowing machine is going to sit, I can actually drill a hole in that wall right there and just run a cable right through that wall.
That seems to me like it would not be a responsible decision.
I own the house. Who's stopping me?
Well, fair enough.
Besides my wife. She would stop me. But other than that, who's stopping me?
Okay.
I pay thousands of dollars for this house.
We should probably, unfortunately, move on to the topic of the podcast. Also, shout out to all of our patrons. You can join that.
I think we should really, though. I want to hear what listeners think about this and hear what viewers think about this. I think we should let the podcast go a little bit more freeform. And while it is important to have set topics and have set discussions, I think that the free form version of the podcast, where we kind of flow and like intermingle between other things and talk about different things, especially now that Trish has joined us as a co-host, although he's not here right now. He's very tired. He needs a break, but because he streams like 50 hours a day, but,
he's live.
I do want to,
that's true.
I do think though, that now that we have a third person, we can kind of get in the weeds a little bit more, you know?
I agree, but,
We'll still gotta
cover the news. We got breaking news.
We do. So the first piece of extremely breaking news is that we have the best alt art that's ever been produced.
It's actually, that's a good side conversation we can have. But yeah, so we have an alternate artwork out of the Terminal World set in the OCG for Gen X Ally Birdman. And I gotta say, this is beautiful. It's Gen X Ally Birdman and Mist Valley Condor flying around in the Divine Wind of Mist Valley. And for those who are unaware, these are the three cards that got Birdman and Divine Wind of Mist Valley on the ban list, is because this made like a big infinite loop of bodies. Now it's an unsearchable three card combo, but at the time they were like, no, we're not doing this. So they limited both of them.
What's the goal of the combo? Is it FTK?
Sometimes it's FTK, sometimes it's just make an unbelievable amount of synchros, sometimes it's just generate a bunch of hand advantage. Was the goal anyway. But we have since found that it doesn't matter.
Now, the goal is to simply be broken.
Notably, Birdman in the Gen X deck is kind of cracked because of the way that the link is worded. It just requires you to add a Gen X to your hand. It's not from your deck. So if Gen X Ally Birdman bounces another Gen X to the hand, then that triggers the link one to then normal summon another Gen X. And would you look at that? If you can like keep looping the Birdman, you can keep getting your extra normal summons and a bunch of searches. It comes up. But point being that the alt art is beautiful.
Isn't Birdman at 2 or 3 now?
Birdman is at 3. It was never at 2, I don't think. It went straight from 1 to 3.
It went from 1 to 3, yeah, on the most recent list.
Actually, it wasn't the most recent list, was it? It's
No, you're right. It was the list before.
Ally Birdman. I want to see when this card got unhit. Because I know it had...
It was the last list. It was not the list we're on right now, but the one before.
Was it?
Yeah. If you go to the most recent ban list and you go view previous list, it'll be on there, yeah. I just had this discussion with someone recently when the new Gen X cards got announced, which I think the new Gen X cards are ridiculous.
Well, they're busted, but for sure. It's
They're busted for the Gen X archetype. Yeah.
Well, so the boards that it makes are really good, and it's actually shockingly consistent. Like, it's not the Gen X. There are like 6 or 7 Gen X monsters that start the combo, but because the Link one exists, and you actually do have extenders. It's just those extenders don't do anything if the Link one gets Impermanent Veilered, because you can only summon it once per turn, so you can't like get another one on board to reset the effect. So it's extremely glass cannon, but somebody will probably do something with it.
I just had a thought.
Oh, it was the last list. It was Birdman and Samsara Lotus. Hilarious. Okay.
Samsara got brought off?
Yeah, not this last list, but the one that Birdman came off. Yeah. Samsara Lotus is unlimited.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Turns out, I guess nobody wants to play the Topologic Bomber FTK.
Wait, is Bomber banned?
No. It's legal. It's legal to do. Nobody wants to do it.
You can just FTK?
The dinosaur, probably the most viable FTK right now is the dinosaur FTK. But yeah, there's probably like 5 or 6 FTKs
there's
going
dinosaur
around.
FTK?
It's the Bish Balkan Chronomaly Machu Mech one. Do you not know about this?
I didn't, but I've heard nightmare stories about Bish Balkan.
Just go,
good enough for me.
Just go Distant Coder Most Viewed, and that'll give you all you need to know about Bish Balkan.
Really? Will it really?
Yes. So, here's some lore. Bish Balkan was recently banned in Master Duel. And I knew that
because it was all over. Everyone's tagging Distant Coder.
Yeah, Coder has a unique history of being FTK'd by Bish Balkan. That's
really,
that's essentially the story.
Has this happened more than once?
You can go look at the channel. So that's FTKs. So next piece of news we got, It's just very brief. So we know that the next V-Jump promo card is Moon of the Closed Sky. It's a Light Link 2, and if you check the artwork out, it looks like it's like a smaller version of Underworld Goddess of the Closed World. So this is Moon of the Closed Sky.
Or as it says, a new form of that one Link monster.
That one white woman jump scare. jump scare. You don't know that.
So now Underworld Goddess is her official name is Karen. Got it.
I guess. Your monster is unaffected. I would like to speak to your manager, please.
Yeah. And monster is allowed to speak to three managers per turn.
I would like to talk to the player directly.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll do the new. We'll do speed duel, and then we'll do the new card, I think. So
yeah, one last thing on that Underworld Goddess one though is that she's actually the only card that when you call a judge over it, it calls the head judge directly. It goes to the judge's supervisor immediately.
It is a fiend monster. Okay. So the next piece of news is actually really interesting. There was some speculation kind of over the last month and a bit, where there was like no updates for speed duels, and people were like, wait, Rush Duels came to Duel Links.
Okay, we're doing this.
Oh, we're doing the new card first? We can do that.
Not anymore, we're not.
Cool, okay. So, I'm excited to talk about this because there's dinosaurs, all right? There was some speculation over the last month and a half, especially with Rush Duel coming to Duel Links, and no announcements for Speed Duel since the last product, that Speed Duel was kind of dead. And they were thinking maybe Konami would hang up their hats, but not anymore. But instead of moving on to 5Ds, we have another GX set.
Yu-Gi-Oh! GX had four seasons.
That's true. But we already got the season 4 GX guy, the evil Jaden. So, I don't know.
But there was another one that we didn't get.
That was the one we didn't get.
Oh, well.
To be fair, I have not seen many more episodes of GX than you have. I read most of the manga, which...
Oh, yeah, you did better than me. I didn't read any of the... I've never read a single page of a Yu-Gi-Oh! Manga, any of them.
I would recommend reading the... not Duel Monsters, read the original 7 volumes, because you will have an entirely new perspective on what the world is meant to be. It's like... In Yu-Gi-Oh,
is this like season 0 stuff?
Yes, season 0. That's
okay. I've heard a lot about it.
It is. You will not expect it if you have not encountered it. It is rather
Yugi
violent.
Quote unquote saving people, but then he challenges attackers to duels and then literally kills people.
He straight up kills people. Yep.
I've heard that.
Bad people, but like it's very vigilante. It's fascinating. It really is.
He's Batman, except if Batman actually killed people and also played trading card games.
And the Duel Monsters manga, honestly, is kind of awesome. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm gonna be. I think like the original DM, the manga would be awesome. Like just really fun. I just worry that. I liked 5Ds, what I saw of it. I only saw like 2-3 episodes, but I liked like the concept of it much more than other people did. I always thought dueling on motorcycles was stupid, but other than that, like the actual storylining of the show.
Nah. The motorcycles are based. You've clearly never played a dual trans or...
Yeah. I've never...
For the Nintendo Wii.
Yeah, I've never like really gotten into it on that one. But I've heard a lot about the storyline, and if the storyline is to be believed from what I heard, it's ridiculous.
There's a lot going on, that's for sure. We're not in 5Ds.
Do you want to read the whole description?
Are you reading it? Am I reading it? Who's reading?
All right. Call it on 3. 1, 2, 3. I'll read it. Okay, you didn't say anything. So.
Deal.
All right. You like that? Does that work for you?
That works.
Okay. Get your game on and duel the lights at Duel the Light. Get your game on and duel. What a stupid saying. Get your game on and duel the light. And that's, I can't. As we go back to Duel Academy and Speed Duel GX, Midterm Destruction. Midterm Destruction. I don't, that's weird. The students at Duel Academy sure have been acting strangely since the mysterious Sartorius has arrived on the island. Is that right, Sartorius?
Yep, Sartorius.
Okay, cool. Now it's up to Jade and Yuki to find out how to stop his devious plans. Luckily, he has elemental hero Neos and the Neospatians to help him out. But he's not going in alone because Tyranno Hasselberry is ready to back him up with the powerful ultimate Tyranno. Jim Crocodile Cook is here too, ready to unearth whatever mysteries he may find with fossil skull Gaios. Will they stand a chance against Sartorius and his powerful Arcana Force monsters? The fate of Duel Academy will be decided in Speed Duel GX Midterm Destruction. Speed Duel GX Midterm Destruction introduces new cards and strategies from the Speed Duel GX animated series, with four complete Speed Duel decks ready to play right out of the box and over 90 new cards to Speed Duel. This is a collection Speed Duelists won't want to miss. Pre-built decks for Jaden, Sartorius, Tyranno, and Jim. Brand new skill cards for new and returning Yu-Gi-Oh! GX characters. Explore new strategies with additional cards, included to upgrade the Speed Duel decks from the Duel Academy box, with new cards and skills for Zane Truesdale, Astro Phoenix, and more. Okay, so we get like Cyber Dragon stuff, probably. Maybe Ojamas, I guess, technically. And Astro Phoenix is Destiny Heroes, I believe.
Destiny Hero, you got okay. it.
Use your Speed Duel GX collection to build a new deck. Dr. Crowler's secret weapon, Belowski, makes his Speed Duel debut with Moki Moki King. The big Belowski?
But you're thinking the big Lebowski?
No, the big Belowski. That's what card this is, Belowski.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Discover 20 secret rare variants of popular GX era cards to collect. Classic GX monsters like Neospatian, Aqua Dolphin, Dandelion, and Card Trooper arrive to Speed Duel as totally sweet Speed Duel secret rares. Play with it on its own or duel against the Speed Duel GX Duel Academy box, Speed Duel GX Midterm Paradox, and Speed Duel GX Duelist of Shadow sets. Each Speed Duel GX Midterm Destruction mini box contains 100 common cards, 12 skill cards, 4 of 20 secret rare cards, and 1 2-player Jaden and Sartorius deluxe game mat. To use a card in Speed Duel, it must have all that stuff. So it has to be a Speed Duel card to play in Speed Duel, but you can play any Speed Duel card in regular.
So I am excited for
which
this.
Is, by the way, still an amazing structure in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for this, obviously, because there is dinosaur support, which means there will be dinosaur skills, and there are some pretty funny dinosaur cards in this format. And also, here's a first edition ultimate rare, Ultimate Tyranno, which is now in the set that I will get to use to inflict immense pain on anyone who dares challenge the dinosaurs. So,
are you missing any dinosaur cards?
Well, funny question. There are two cards that I am missing that are realistically obtainable. There are two that I don't have that I will probably never own. I've come to peace with that. The first obvious one is the prize card for this year's Worlds, which was the Dino. Maybe if I win the lottery, then maybe. But the other one that is partially because it's just very comically expensive for what it is, and partially because it just never goes up for sale. Out of the first Battles of Legends set, where Giant Rex was first reprinted, that set is an all ultra rare. However, you could get a secret rare in that set, but there is a misprint secret rare Giant Rex. So there are multiple copies of them out there, but the last time one sold was a few months ago for like $2,000. So no
Canadian or American?
US, I think. So
gross.
That will be a no for me. But some other important stuff about this, obviously it means that Speed Duels is not dead. They clearly still want to support it. Although the fact that this releases in, I think, March means that probably there won't be another set until September. They seem to be content with that. I do love that they're continuing this, like, box form, like the Battle City box. These little midterm sets, I think they're priced super reasonably for the amount of cards that you get. And the secret rares tend to have pretty solid reprints. Having a secret rare Aqua Dolphin is nice. It means there's a high rarity version other than the Ulti that you can go get. Dandelion reprint is big for Edison, I think. I don't know if it's like super expensive, but it's nice to have a secret.
So Dandelion was not a like really expensive card, but it was one that you frequently saw like kind of creep up there in price towards that, like, you know, $2-4 mark depending on the rarity.
Mm-hmm.
Which the secret rare was really the one that would commonly creep up there, like $4.
Yeah.
So,
and if you're looking at like card trooper versions too, there was a secret out of Battles of Legends, but the speed duel secrets honestly looked like the speed duel secret rares, if you have not seen them, are gorgeous cards. Probably my favorite print of Sapphire Pegasus is the speed duel secret rares. They look great. Dolgoran comes, the kaiju comes in speed duel secret, so does Stratos. Is it Stratos? I might be thinking of a different card. But they're beautiful cards.
Dasher,
that was one of the first, like, that was the big reprint I got, actually. Lava Golem comes mm-hmm. in speed duel secret rare. That one's pretty.
So a near mint secret rare Dandelion, which the Dandelion secret rare was from a Legendary Collection 2. They are $5 currently. The original Shonen Jump ultra rare promo, which those are very nice. I would love to have a Shonen Jump promo Dandelion or 3. I would love that. Those are $13 to $15.
Mm-hmm.
The ultis are like $150.
Yeah. Jump Ultras actually look really nice. I'm a big fan of the Jump Ultras. I haven't
found a Jump Ultra card yet that I didn't like. I'm sorry, the ultis are $120.
I have a Jump Ultra Shooting Star Dragon, and then I have a Jump Ultra Fright for Tiger, both beautiful. I also have the Kazuki Takahashi artwork Dark Magician, also a beautiful Ultra.
What the heck? Why not?
So that's Speed Duel. Cool for all the Speed Duel players out there, and hopefully they will hit the Moth deck. Ooh, that is a pretty card. That's the ulti.
Yeah. I only have one. I need another one, but yeah, that's not a priority right now. My $10,000 worth of AC work that got done yesterday is the priority at the moment.
You make a good point. Speaking of,
however, what I have in the meantime is this. So if anybody's wondering what the Legendary Collection GX secret rares look like,
that does look very pretty.
It is. It's very nice. It's one of my favorites from the Legendary Collections. Generally, I actually don't like Legendary Collection secrets, but these are very nice. And if you were watching the live stream right now, you would have seen that. I'm talking directly to you, listener. You know who you are. If you had tuned into the live stream or watched it on YouTube instead of on Spotify, you would have seen that.
Well, not to demean the
listeners.
Yeah, so we actually do have three new Sky Striker cards.
Three? I thought it was one. Is it three?
I also thought it was one, but it looks like it's three.
No, it is three. Wow. Okay.
So I guess I'll take the first one. We can ball from there.
Yeah. One, two. Yeah.
So the first one's a level one monster. This card is called Pillar of the Future, Cyanos. This is, seems like it's in that like reign of striker cards that like aren't actually striker cards. I mean, they are.
Assyrion, was that the last one?
Yeah, Illyrian, I think it's called. But Illyrian, yes, there was another one. There's a level six, I think. Okay.
Sky Strike. No, it was It was a mech. It was a big robot guy.
Oh, there was Hamp. That was the kaiju.
That's what I was thinking.
Anyway, Light Machine Effect, level 1, 500 attack, 1500 defense. This card is always treated as a Sky Striker card. You can only use all three of the effects of this card's name once per turn. One, you can discard one spell, special summon this card from your hand. Two, if this card is normal or special summoned, you can special summon one Sky Striker Ace Rose from your deck or graveyard. Also, you cannot special summon monsters from the extra deck for the rest of this turn, except for machines. Three, you can banish this card from your graveyard to take one of your Sky Striker Ace Rose that is banished or in your graveyard, and either add it to your hand or special summon it.
This card's insane.
I don't know.
This is the best one of these we've gotten by a mile. Illyrian is bad. This card's ridiculous, I feel.
So
for a number of reasons.
So I think I don't think it's.
But it changes. It changes the Sky Striker deck, in my opinion, because it changes Sky Striker from. Okay, me and Trish got the first day that I called him and asked him to be on the podcast. We ended up talking for an hour about just general Yu-Gi-Oh theory. And we ended up, one of the things we brought up was Sky Striker. He asked me what kind of deck Sky Striker is. And I thought about it. And I said, well, I feel like at one time it was control. And now with the releases of cards, not Engage, the other one.
Linkage.
Linkage, things like that. It became a bit more mid-rangey. He said the deck's not either, it's not mid-rangey or control. I said, that's not combo. He said, no. All of those words are fake. It's tempo. It's just what tempo it plays at. Because in Yu-Gi-Oh, there's no such thing as combo, control, or mid-range. Those terms are irrelevant, is what he said. It's just, you take tempo and you move it along the tempo spectrum, on what you built it, which I realize is...
We had this argument.
An entire argument we had, but he recontextualized it for me. So... I'll admit that I was wrong, or at least did not properly understand our conversation, or was just stuck into my rut. But regardless, this ups the tempo of Sky Striker. I don't think it changes the deck itself necessarily and its strategy. I think that it ups the tempo and it lets you put pressure on a little bit harder if you want to.
So one thing that I think is interesting about this, so I don't know that it's that crazy powerful. Discarding a spell is like rather specific and is kind of a high cost, but this card is three bodies on its own. You can also get the spell back. Like, this summons itself, summons Rose from deck, you link this card off into one of your striker links, you grab a card back.
Can this card be linked off into a striker link? Because it's a Sky Striker card, but it's not a Sky Striker monster. Does that make sense?
So I would have to read the striker links, but you can just link the rows. So even if you can't use this, it doesn't really matter. So I'd have to read the striker links, but this could honestly be a generic machine card. Cause like it's three bodies. Cause it's this, the rows, and then it's the rows that you summon back off of this from the graveyard.
Kagari and Hayate and, Haina, Shizuka, the original ones, they all say one non that attribute Sky Striker Ace Monster.
So this isn't a Sky Striker Ace Monster, it's just a Sky Striker Monster.
No, it's not. I mean,
yeah.
Is it?
Since it's always treated as a Sky Striker card, it would qualify, but it's not a Sky Striker Ace, so you can't use it.
Okay, so I know that sounds like a really stupid question, but... And yeah, you're correct in that. I know you're correct. But it's weird to me because my initial thought was that even if they say they need a Sky Striker monster, while this is a monster and it is considered a Sky Striker card, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
In this case,
am I being weird?
No, you're not being weird. It's kind of similar to the distinction between a pendulum monster that's like equipped to something while it's in what would be the pendulum scale and then activating a pendulum like scale. In that zone, it's like it's like a weird distinction thing. But I believe if this said Sky Striker Ace, you could use it. If it was treated as a Sky Striker Ace monster, you could. It's kind of like
if it was treated as a Sky Striker Ace card. You probably still could too.
Yeah.
Right.
But
okay.
Regardless,
I think it's good.
It's three bodies, and it is a hefty cost though. Like it's kind of Galaxy Soldier ish, I guess. So we'll see. You want to grab the next link?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about applications outside of exactly like it puts a spell in your grave for your other Sky Striker spells, and it does it as cost, right? So you could, in theory, activate this card from hand, discard one as cost, and maybe that puts you at three, and now you chain a Widow Anchor to the activation or something like that, right?
Maybe. One thing, like, you can always get back what you discard with Kagari. I think if we're looking at applications outside, we're probably looking at stuff like, what can I do with three machines? So we'll see.
Does this make it more applicable in a to put Sky Striker as a supplementary engine in spell heavy decks, like maybe even like Valmonica. Like in Valmonica, this could be really good.
Except that you get locked into summoning machines from the extra deck, so probably not.
Well, I zoned out when you read that line. Excuse me.
That's fair.
Let's go ahead. Yeah. This is the moment where I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. Let's move on. Next, we have Sky Striker Ace Azalea Temperance. Dark Machine, Link Effect Monster, Link 3, 2500 attack. Link arrows are left, right, and bottom. 2+ monsters, including a Link monster, must first be Link summoned. You can only use the first effect of this card's name once per turn. One, if this card is special summoned, you can banish one spell card from your hand or graveyard and target one monster your opponent controls with 2500 or less attack. Equip that face-up monster to this card as an equipped spell. When this card is destroyed by battle, you can special summon one other Sky Striker monster from your hand or grave.
It's good. It's so notably, this is generic. It's kind of like if SP Little Light and Unicorn had a very strange child. It's definitely like solid. Like it's good removal. Banishing, being able to banish the spell from grave is like fine. It's kind of weird in Striker. I feel like they like to have the spells in grave. I don't know why the support is like banishing stuff from the grave, but it's like it's a good card. And notably, the other level one is just a one card this. So you can just make this with one card. So, yeah, it's removal.
Yep, absolutely. Is the other monster a one card Link 3?
Yep. So you go Cyanos, pitch a spell, summon the Rose. You link off this and the Rose into a Link 2, and then you use the Cyanos to banish itself to summon the Rose, and then that's your Link 3.
Oh yeah. Okay. All right, let's do the next one.
Cool. So this one doesn't have a picture for some reason. It is a Link 2. This is Combination Maneuver Engage 0. It's a Machine Link, Light Link 2, 1500 attack, and its arrows are pointing to the left and to the right, so it's not a down pointer. Two light and or dark monsters, so it's generic, similar to Azalea, I think. This card is always treated as a Sky Striker Ace card. So you can only use this one to link into the other into the other Striker
right.
links.
Naturally.
Same with the other one. This is also a Sky Striker Ace. You can only special summon Combination Maneuver Engage 0 or zeros once per turn. Cannot be used as link material. Okay, never mind. Actually, you can't. So now it's my turn to get punked. If this card is special summoned, you can target one monster with 20 on the field with 2500 or more attack, negate its effects until the end of the turn, and then two, at the start of the damage step, if this card attacks and you have Ray and Rose in your graveyard, you can destroy all monsters your opponent controls. This is kind of a sick go second tool, actually. It's kind of nasty. I don't know if it's that good, but it is. It's here.
It's definitely here. It's definitely here. You know what would also be interesting? I think I would almost prefer it if it said, instead of saying you can target one monster on field with 2500 or more attack, negates effects until the end of this turn. You know what I think would make this way more interesting is if it said
quick effect.
Your opponent chooses one monster on their field with 2500 or more attack, negate its effects until the end of this turn.
I feel like that just makes it infinitely worse, right?
I think it's quite the opposite.
Oh, I guess because it means that it's your opponent who's deciding, so it doesn't affect the monster. But
yes, it also doesn't target, and it affects the opponent, not the monster.
That's true. And then the downside is that if they have multiple with 2500 or more attack, they get to pick.
Right, which is it's fine.
It's interesting. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, I mean, it makes the effect stronger in theory, but it also makes it kind of also worse, right? But yeah. If you summon this into a field of SP Barone, well, guess what?
Choose, weary traveler. Actually, no, that's true. They don't choose because SP is smaller than 25. Interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it would be very niche use cases, but I feel like you still play it.
So. I will wait for the review from GGYGO before drawing any conclusions. I think
I'll wait until we get the picture on this car before whether I decide it's good or not.
Well, that may be how some amount of Striker players decide which cards they want to play.
Maybe.
Okay.
So we have about 15 minutes left. So I want to do a review of Valiant Smashers, an explainer of how the decks work, and explainer of how we can expect them to perform in the meta. So to do that, I'm just going to put on the Curry Bandits video. It's 13 minutes, so we have time to read the patrons at the end.
That's legitimately, if you need like a channel to go look at for information about upcoming sets of the game, the Curry Bandits is the best. They do 10-minute testing style deck checks, and honestly, like, I think some of their most entertaining videos, whenever there's like a card that has a lot of targets, Jaxel does a video where they just talk about all of the possible targets. So if you want a video to learn about some targets, Bonfire. There's a video that goes over like every Bonfire target, and definitely worth a watch. And there's a video, if you were ever unsure if MX Saber Invoker could come back in the TCG, you can watch the MX Saber Invoker video, and you come to realize very quickly that the only good targets are banned and everything else really sucks. So like,
no, MX could just come back. It'd be fine.
Now, the Goblin Riders may change that equation. Sorry, the Goblin Bikers. We got the official name now. That's another piece of news. The promo card for Phantom Nightmare in TCG is one of the Goblin Biker spells. They're no longer the Riders. They're now the Bikers.
They do be biking.
All right. Well, you just watched the breakdown video.
He did.
What, why don't you kick us off for
I only half paid attention, and I had it on 1.5 speed, and he already talks fast, so it was...
And I absorbed. I also interrupted you a few times. Cut you off a little bit.
Yeah, there was multiple times where I was like, I need to go answer this Discord message and tell Skyhawk, please don't go to sleep, we still need to record. Mm-hmm. And then I have to come back, and he's like, again, 1.5 speed, and he is just flying at 1.5x. And it's basically impossible to actually understand and comprehend what's being said. But here's my understanding of how Valiant Smashers works and how each of the decks in Valiant Smashers works. So first we have the Valmonica archetype. So this is the one that you see with the pink and purple girls on the very nice decorative backgrounds. And it's a pendulum-based strategy. So the two monsters are notably the only pendulum monsters, similar to how Numerelia only has one like main deck pendulum monster, but it's like still a pendulum strategy. Conceptually, Valmonicas, when you scale one, it searches and scales the other automatically, I believe. But they're scales 3 and 5. So it's not like you're like scaling a 1 and 8 and you can do whatever. It's not quite like that. But one scales the other. And then they're all structured around gaining counters when you gain or lose life. And then all the spells and traps have different effects to where you gain or lose life. But if you don't have any of the counters on board, your opponent chooses or something like that?
Kind of. They've also believe some of the links you can copy the effects of the spell traps in the graveyard. So that kind of serves as extra searching, extra disruption. It is very, very... I got you. It is very convoluted, is the word I would put. This reminds me of Valence in terms of like... You are playing a completely different card game. you're not playing Yu-Gi-Oh! You're playing a Radiant Historia Perfect Chronology for the 3DS. You're playing a remake of an old JRPG on a handheld console that's life cycle has ended.
The thing is, really, is what you're playing is you're playing the remastered version of the port when it was ported from 3DS to PC. So you're trying to like manage everything from the top screen while like clicking on things on the bottom screen, and it doesn't really translate very well. But
so Final Fantasy,
you're still going to try. So
Final Fantasy 4 is what you're describing. Something between 3 and 5, probably.
Just imagine trying to play Pokemon Platinum like an emulator on your computer. It's not. It's just not.
It's you're playing it on a PSP. Is what you're doing. So this deck is not very good. There are some cool cards that you can play with it. Notably, the Performage Engine is kind of baller. Specific because you can Pendulum Summon Fours. Damage Juggler and Trick Clown are sick cards, and Damage Juggler specifically manipulates life points, which is very good for setting up the deck to do what you want. But it's not only is this deck hard to play, it doesn't do anything. The boards are reminiscent of Crystal Beast. It's like a Baguska IP and a trap card.
So I would like to offer something that I haven't seen people doing, but to be fair, I haven't looked either, so that people might have been experimenting with this and it just did or didn't work. I don't know. Why not play a Runic Engine in the deck? I know that a lot of people want to play some kind of a mill engine to get the spells in the graveyard. That way the links can copy the spells, which I get. But why not play a Runic Engine? And there's a reason behind why I think you should.
I think the battle phase is kind of important for the link monsters. I don't know if that's just me. I might be misremembering that. That might be why people are hesitant.
I'll be honest. I'm just thinking of the link monsters as like being able to destroy your opponent's monsters and pop your opponent's stuff. And in my opinion, it's like a resource thing.
You just draw a bunch of cards.
Where you just try to make smart one for ones and two for ones until you outgrind your opponent until they have no resources. I mean, that's how I would think about it. Of course, I haven't read the cards either. So
Runic Spell Pitch, Damage Juggler, Trick Crown sounds pretty decent to me. So I'm not opposed to it.
Like I said, I mean, I haven't read the cards.
Yeah.
So. And I like Runic. I might just be trying to jam two different size gears together. I don't know, but
sometimes it works.
You'll never know until somebody else builds the deck and tries it and succeeds, and you say I did that first, and
yeah,
that's how you know.
We should probably move on from the least playable deck in the set.
Let's go on to Memento, which I think just summons a 5K guy, right?
It summons a big dude. it does All a right, little bit so that's more Memento. Than that. They're spell traps. They have some like very unique protection effects. One of the cards is like, if you banish my guy, the curse of Ra has now become upon ye. I think it's the quick play. Memento. So to be honest with you, Memento is a deck that I think I remember when we talked about the Horus cards for the first time, and we were both like, what do these cards do? They don't do anything. I feel like that's how I feel about the Memento stuff. But this is definitely a deck that I feel like exists in the Rescue Ace space, where you could absolutely print a card that breaks this. There are some pieces here resembling a resource game. It is a big, competent boss monster that is maybe a little bit convoluted to summon, but there are support cards that could definitely make it work more consistently. Right now, the deck is just bricky, is I think the biggest issue. So if we get like Emergency Preventer style wave, it could do very well. I just don't know that that's gonna happen. It's tricky.
So what if we
printed Circular?
Right. I mean, the deck has Soul Charge already.
Yeah, it does. That's true. It's so crazy to me that they are just giving decks Soul Charge now. They're like, no, this deck is bad enough. Like Sprengans, no, you can have Soul Charge. Soul Charge that's like does three other things. This deck, no, you
they
can
gave
have Soul
Charge. Argoatic Painful Choice. So
The Painful Choice existed before Ogdoadic. They did give Ogdoadic like...
They built a deck to abuse it.
They did give Ogdoadic a Scapegoat without restrictions, and they have a new spell that's like, tribute a guy, here's like a billion reptile tokens, go nuts.
I still feel like this deck is Ogdoadic, but better.
Maybe. I will say, I don't know if I have sent you the sauce yet. There have been some people working on 60 card Snake Eye Ogdoadic Evol. I may be getting pilled on it. It's pretty sick.
Don't get too pilled.
I'll double evolution pilled. Hey.
Some pills are considered hard drugs. Be careful.
I'll have you know that Vyvanse does me wonders.
On. But you are living in Hell's Angels territory, so just be careful.
21-21 is not worth living in. All right. We want to, the big deck in the room, which is the biggest question mark out of the set, is,
big deck in the room. That was funny. That was good.
Thank you. Centurion. So Centurion is kind of depends on what you build. You figured what out?
21's not worth living in. Scientist got stumped by a Nirvana high paladin. I couldn't remember the next line. Sorry, continue.
Glad you made it. Our heroes travel back in time. So Centurion is, it centers around setting monsters as continuous spells, or continuous traps, actually, I believe. Not continuous spells. Specifically continuous traps. Which it seems to be a common theme among Yu-Gi-Oh cards as of the last bits of wave of design. Snake Eye does it. There's a new generic Synchro that does it. Putting monsters in the spell trap zone. We're starting to ball out. Shout outs to Crystal Beast. Some versions of this deck are more combo heavy. You see a lot of stuff with the super heavy Samurai engine to set up Calamity. Hot Red Dragon Archfiend King Calamity.
Yes, that was my summarization of the deck. It does Calamity.
That's what it does.
It does Calamity better than anything else out there. It's still bad, though.
It's probably not good. So one thing, I mean, this deck doesn't have to contend with Maxi, but it has to contend with all other sorts of nonsense. Monadium has had the Calamity lock available to it this whole time, and I think it's maybe topped once. Monadium is just doing anything other than the Calamity lock, because it turns out most of the setup loops to Super Poly, and also it's just like not very good. Notably, Centurion is by far the best deck to do this with. You can play it instead of like the super heavy combo build, you can play it like Zodiac, where it's like instead of your normal summon being like Drydent pass, it's just that your normal summon is Calamity lock pass, which notably is pretty good, but loses to everything, and then you have to rely on your non-engine to back you up, and then you're playing Zodiac in the year 2023, which,
as far as things that are worth doing, normal summoning you're skipping your opponent's turn is not bad. That said,
it's still not good enough.
21's not worth living in.
I already made the joke. It's not funny anymore.
You know what? It's funny to me, okay?
So, point being, I guess we could talk a little bit about the quote-unquote reprints that are in this set. There's not a lot of good ones. We know the whole set list, so I can pull it up real quick.
You know, is this the one where Foolish Burial did not get a CR and everybody's very disappointed?
Maybe. I didn't know that Foolish Burial was in here. I'm just going to check the English set list. So,
shout out Duel Daddy on Twitter and Instagram.
True. So the reprints that we have in this set are Protecting Spirit Logalith, who cares? Perform Mage Trick Clown, Ghost Sister and Spooky Dogwood, Boguska, which did not get a Collector's Rare, and I'm very sad about that. Stained Glass of Light and Dark, which is one of the coolest cards ever printed, but I think is more playable in some other decks. Honest, which got a Collector's Rare. Dark Honest, which also got a Collector's Rare. And Arc Lord Christia, which is in the set as a Quarter Century Secret.
Like.
Yep.
And subscribe.
Yeah. So most of the other reprints, like, don't matter price-wise. Mechlord Emperor, Wazell, and Granel are, like, whatever. Abominable Unchained Soul is cool, but it wasn't expensive. Ibishella Lutea is very funny, but it's not good. Foolish Burial, Valhalla, Hall of the Fallen, Advanced Draw, Imperial Custom, Call of the Haunted, and Apophis the Swamp Deity. Who cares? The only two, like, reprints that really matter are Colossal Fighter, which I believe is pretty decent for Edison.
Yes, that's huge. That card was getting very hard to find.
Pretty badly needed one. Funny enough, I had my copy of Colossal Fighter is from, like, the 5D's starter structure deck. I got that, like,
Everyone's is.
Yeah. And then the other notable reprint is Arch Nemesis Eschatos. It's the not Protoss one.
So I would like to say that Christia is actually a pretty notable reprint. I don't think there were really any copies of Christia under like $3-4. which is about where Colossifier was. Like, and it's one of those cards that, kind of like Colossifier, it's not that it was expensive, it was just kind of getting hard to find. And also, having this Quarter Century Secret Rare is going to be a very nice, highly pretty alternative to the original Secret Rare Christias, which, while it's a beautiful card, they're like $600. It's outrageous.
Yep. I'm actually curious what will happen to those.
Now that I am also wanting to say, we kind of transitioned to the set list. I did want to circle back a little bit to Centurion. People are also playing that deck with a Horus engine. So I think that's the version of the deck worth keeping an eye on, if I'm being honest with you. I think that's the version that is the most interesting to me.
I could see it. Notably, Centurion is also 5 Ultra Rares. So while it's not quite as bad as the distribution for Vanquish Soul was, it still kind of sucks. But notably, I don't think any of these decks are going to be great, so I don't think they will be too expensive overall. So make of that what you will. Notably, I think they should have put a couple more good reprints in this set. I know the rarity collection is a thing, but like, I don't see how this is worth it to open. Don't buy a box, buy singles.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I always think that if you have the spare money and don't mind losing money and are not trying to get value, that buying a box is a perfectly fine proposition. But be aware of clown gas. So, all right, everybody. True. Well, let's go ahead and thank all of our wonderful patrons. Oh, and on the subject of Valiant Smashers, if you do pull a Valmonica core or a Memento core and you want to let them go, let me know. I would love to pick those up while they're cheap.
Before they get pearly rescue ace.
Before they get 3 rounds of support and they're like rescue ace, yeah. All right, well, so a huge thank you, of course, to always second curry carrying these nuts all over your field, Zyphorus, Opelousa, Bow of the Floodgate, Tussie, Big Stinky, Ding Dong, Hostess of the Yangzing, Give Me That Harusi, Konami, HGH Cyber, John Leo, Mountain Man, Omo Spaghetti, Owen Alvarado, Pistol Place Pendulums, Silver Hope, Sukon D, Easy Nuts. Understanding and reading are two different things. Virtually Saviors World, Visa Star Frosting, these nuts. Oh no.
That's
a new one.
They're leaning in.
Wind Up Carrier, Zinfandel, Meity, Aaron Gardner, Alexander Chan, Asami, Ashless Chaps, Atsuyo, Sympathy, Silver Castle, Blackwing, Silver in the Ascent is the best Floodgate. Blue Eyes is best, Copium, Box Wine, Chubby Ninja, Come On and Get Your Game On, Dragon Maidenless Behavior, I'm About to Rika Glamour Tribute for Cause These Plant Nuts in Your Mouth, Level 4 Fire Warrior Gaming, Little Stinky, Llama Yama, Cam Sarama, Maxi Pack, Old Man Red, Pinnacle 143, and Wanted Secret of Your Mom's Sinful Spoils. And if you want to get an extra episode every single week, you can go ahead and get that over on our Patreon, which you can find in the description down below. So again, a huge thank you to everyone for your continued support of the podcast. And of course, until next time, have a great weekend, everybody.
Well, you can't go just yet.
Oh. There's no 24-hour live stream tonight and tomorrow. That's not happening. I got LSU tickets to the game.
That would explain why you're wearing the LSU Tiger shirt.
Actually, yes. I did that on purpose to remind me to say something, and I forgot anyway. So no 24-hour live stream. I'm sorry.
Before you are allowed to leave, I have the card pun for you.
Okay.
I've really outdone myself this time. Have you seen Mean Girls?
A long time ago.
You know the character Regina George.
Regina.
I think they say it Regina in the movie.
It's definitely Regina. Definitely.
Yeah. So
what, I was making a Canada pun, but what, yeah, continue.
I'm with you. What Yu-Gi-Oh card do you think Regina George would be?
What Yu-Gi-Oh card? Now, Regina George was the, like, the bully, right? Like, one.
Yeah.
What card Regina George would be? I am going to say...
Because I have the answer for you.
Is there one that... Okay. Actually, I have an answer here.
Okay.
Tour Bus from the Underworld.
I like that answer, but unfortunately, it's incorrect. Because the answer is Dinomorphia, Kent Regina George.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a good one.
Bye. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.